Colossians. We're on part 7 of Colossians. And the name of this message is Every Person Perfect. Say that with me. Every Person Perfect. Today we're going to go through the rest of Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. I'm going to repeat a couple of verses, and we'll go through verse 29. Remember in Colossae, there's a couple of maps there, Pat, if you would put one of those up. In Colossae, we have an area where it's a valley, Epaphras. If you can maybe dim that light, Vern, if you'd be so kind over here on this front row. You have Colossae here at the lower part, if you can see it. Do you see Laodicea next to it there? Okay, and then on over to the west is Ephesus, the Colossian church was probably begun by Epaphras, who came to Jesus under Paul's ministry while he was ministering in Ephesus. And you have Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae. We've spoken of those at length. I don't need to recover all that same ground. Thank you, guys. But what's happened here is the church has become subject to those who were teaching in seed form what later became full-blown in the second and third centuries, an error known as Gnosticism. And they were saying, you couldn't just have Jesus. Jesus alone is not enough. You have to have a secret body of knowledge if you're going to get right with God. And you have to have other intermediaries to get you to God. But this is a secret mystical truth. And if you're going to get saved, if you're going to consider yourself right with God, you have to have this secret mystical truth. And Paul, as an apostolic father, probably didn't even know the saints in Colossae, but he says, I want you to hold on to the truth. Because what you believe determines how you live. What you believe determines how you live. So as we're looking in the book of Colossians, we're hearing a letter from an apostolic father who'd never been there. He had heard the reports of the error that was coming against the church through probably Epaphras. And he's saying, as a father, I want you to stand strong. I want you to know what you believe so you can get it down like bedrock in your soul so you're not shaken. You don't have to be taken off of the path and shaken away. So let's talk about where we've been as we've studied. Even last week, Paul declares last week's scriptures, and we'll review it a little bit here, that he is suffering. He's in prison. He's been through suffering, shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, had snake bite when in the island of Crete, I believe it was, and all sorts of things, suffered constantly, but he did it in order to teach the truth to the body of Christ, to the family of God, that this mystery that is hidden for ages is now known, it's declared, it's open, you've got it in your heart of hearts, you don't need to be shaken. Colossians 1. Verse 26 declares, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Again, we talked about the mystery that those who have the seed form of Gnosticism talked about, which is a mystical knowledge. Only a few can find that kind of fullness of knowledge, and only a few can be included in their special group. And Paul is saying, that is just ungodly, wicked error. It comes from the devil himself because God wants everybody to come into his family. Someone say amen. Aren't you glad that God wants everybody to be able to know Jesus? Aren't you glad? I'm glad. I'm glad that I get included in that number. So Paul's pointing out God's word is for everybody. They could have all the wisdom they would need in order to be able to be saved and grow in Christ. So making God's word fully known meant revealing a message that had been hidden for generations. And it wasn't that God just wanted to keep some secret knowledge. It was he was waiting for the fullness of time and the right time to send Jesus. What is the hidden message? There are two aspects. Talked about it some last week. The two aspects of this hidden knowledge is, number one, Jews and Gentiles are going to be joined together, and in fact, Paul's saying, now are in one family, in one body. Now, everybody realized that in the Old Testament, there was a way for Gentiles to join themselves to the Jews. But the Gentiles would never be equal. Do you understand? You, the Jews were God's special people, understanding it that way. We believe they still have God's hand upon them. But they always thought, we've got the corner on the God market. You've got to come to God through us. You can't come in any other way. And no matter what you do, you'll never be on an equal par with the Jewish people. But God's mystery that he revealed was, ho, I got a bigger plan than you do, which is the Jew and the Gentile get to come together, be one family, and guess what? They're equal.
Amen.
They got the same footing before the cross that you have, Jewish people. So what's he saying? The Jewish believers are what I'm talking about. Jewish believers had real problem with the fact that this church, this upstart Gentile church, was coming in and they didn't have 2,000 years of history with God behind them. What do you mean they're on equal ground? And Paul is saying, sorry, that's God's business, take it up with him, but they are equal. And the Gentiles all over that Paul was reaching, they were full of joy. They were rejoicing. You mean I get to be with God? And Paul said, that's right, you get to be with God. And so other people kept coming in around them, trying to steal their joy away. Can I ask you a question? Has anybody in this room ever had anybody try to steal your joy away?
Yeah.
Don't look at each other. But sometimes you start radiating the love of Jesus, talking about it. People want nothing more to be able to pop your balloon. But Jesus gives you a reason to rejoice, even if somebody does pop your balloon, because it's not based on balloons, thank God. Jesus is making them equal to the utter joy. Now, in the Old Testament, again, Gentiles could convert to Judaism, but they would be second-class citizens. I want you to proclaim it with me. No second-class citizens in Jesus. Come on again. No second-class citizens in Jesus. Colossians 1 verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Powerful next phrase, which is, say it with me, boom it out, church, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's hidden message is no longer any puzzle to solve. It's a treasure chest. It's not a puzzle you can't figure out. It's a treasure chest filled with joy and riches and love and life, forgiveness and mercy and grace. Someone thank God with me. Thank you, Jesus. And these riches are all available to everyone who comes to Jesus. They didn't need any secret knowledge anymore. All they needed was Jesus, and God wanted to save them. Before, in all the Old Testament, you got to work your way into God. You got to become a Jew. You got to get circumcised. You'll never be good enough. And all the while, God said, wait a minute. I'm sending my son, and I want you all with me. Come on, thank God. God wants you this morning. Turn to each other and say, God wants you. It's huge. So God wants you. If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, Jesus loves you. God wants you. And the secret to having that relationship is having Christ live in you. God had planned from the beginning of time to have Jesus live in the heart of each believer, each person. And Jesus living inside of you and me gives us the assurance that we're heaven bound. If you died this afternoon, if you died sitting in your chair today, please do not do it. But I am here to say, anything could happen at any time. Do you know where you're going for eternity? Heaven or hell? One or the other. The destiny is certain. It's certain. So make it certain in Jesus. There's no reason to go to hell because you didn't take time to pray the prayer of surrender to Jesus. We have a friend that just went to the Lord last night. We rejoice that his pain is now gone. He knows where he is. And our friend Gail knows she will see him again because he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And it's the assurance, I know and I know and I know, that Jesus holds me and will take me to himself when I go. Ephesians 2 verse 13. now in Christ Jesus. You who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And Paul is saying, hold on to this. Get this deep, get this solid, no matter what comes against you, no matter what the latest craze is and popular teaching, hold on, Jesus is your answer. Amen. Come on, you know, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. You remember the old 70s song? How many remember Andrew Crouch song? Okay, about three of us in the room. Thank God, well, I didn't date myself. I had somebody else to date. Now her name's Sherry. Oh, anyway. Hold on to this. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. All right, so that's where we've been. Where are we going? Where are we going? Turn to Colossians 1. Look at it in your own Bible. I've got it up here, but I want you to see it in your own Bible. Colossians 1, verse 28. I want you to mark this chapter, this book, because this book is full of dynamic truths. As we've talked before, it's one of the most magnificent short books to portray Jesus and who He is. So Colossians 1, verse 28, and I'm only going to do the first part. So where are we going? Watch this morning. I have a simple message this morning. Colossians 1, verse 28, first part, reading from the New King James. Him, Jesus, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, and this, of course, man is generic, men and women, warning and teaching in all wisdom. Now, up here, I have it in the NIV, if you don't have that in front of you. That was New King James. Here's the NIV. We proclaim Him, admonishing, teaching everyone with all wisdom. Out of the New Living. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. Now, first part of this section, I want to break it down just a little bit. Let's drill down on the truth. Whom we preach. Whom we preach. The gospel, let's make it clear. The gospel is not what we preach. It is whom we preach. Because the good news is found in a person who has a name. His name is Jesus, the Christ. Jesus is the gospel. Someone say amen. Amen. It's all about Jesus. If you have not given your life to the person of Jesus Christ and asked Him to come into your heart, then you don't yet have the gospel living inside. Because it's all about Jesus. He is the person of the gospel. It's whom we preach. He is eternal life. John wrote, the apostle wrote, that he was going to show us eternal life, that he had seen eternal life in 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2. He had seen Christ. You either have Jesus or you don't. And it's not you versus us and them and aren't we better? No, the point is, if you haven't done that yet, it's time to come on up or talk to somebody afterwards. Let other people pray for you. It's as easy as taking a few minutes today to say, I want you, Jesus, and I surrender my life to you. Because it's all about the person of Jesus Christ. Turn to each other and say, it's about the person of Jesus. Do you have Him? The gospel is not an it. It's not just, this isn't just theology this morning. This isn't just a belief system. It's not who can out-argue the next. It's not just apologetics. There is a place for Christian apologetics where you can stand toe-to-toe. But Paul went to Mars Hill, stood there toe-to-toe with the greatest philosophers of the day in Athens, and came away after arguing with everybody with only a few who had given their life to Jesus. I believe he came away a heartbroken man, walks to Corinth, and from then on, his message changed because I determined, is what he said to Corinthians, I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. Paul took it right back to the person of Jesus. It's not how well I can argue with you. It's do you know Him? And He loves you. Get it deep. Get it strong. Get it solid. You may look at me this morning and say, this is basic. It's okay. I don't mind teaching you the basics all over again till I'm done preaching. Amen. Because Jesus is who this is all about. All right, secondly, he says, warn and teach. Whom we preach, and then warn and teach. The word warn, also is tied into the word, or translated, admonishing. That word warn in the Greek ties in with the word repentance. And it refers to conduct and heart attitude. So Paul says it's the job of the gospel teacher and preacher to warn, to try to say, don't go that way. That's sin. I had sometimes where people have said, don't use the word sin. Why? Because sin makes you feel uncomfortable. You know why? Because conviction comes. And where there's sin in a life, there's only one remedy for sin. You'll never do it yourself. His name is Jesus, the Savior. So sin leads to the sin doctor, Jesus himself. All right. So he says, part of our job is to warn. And you help see, is my conduct right? Am I walking better with Jesus? The word teach is connected to faith. And doctrine refers to a person's intellect or what you believe. The Bible says what? We have the mind of Christ. But we need our thinking changed. Can I ask you an honest question? Are you a little different than you used to be? How many are a lot different than you used to be? And how many next to you say, thank God that person's different than you? Man, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad, man? I gave my life to Jesus a long time ago. I gave my life to Jesus. Things I used to think were okay, I look now and I go, how could I have thought that? You know? Okay, some of you don't look like you know what I'm talking about. But you sit there and you go, maybe some of the shows you used to watch or some of the movies you used to enjoy, things you said, all of a sudden they come out of your mouth and you go, whoa, I don't think I should talk like that. Oh, I don't think I should watch that. You know, Pastor Sherry and Pastor Carl used to talk about having watched a humorous movie, an old classic movie, and they had gotten saved, gave their lives to the Lord, and then they had their pastor come over. We want to watch this movie with you. It's just great. But the Holy Spirit had already begun to change them. And they're sitting there watching the movie, horrified, full of embarrassment. We didn't know, thank God, that Jesus changes us from the inside out. And that's why, you know, you can go to a lot of churches. You shouldn't smoke. You shouldn't chew. You shouldn't run with those who do, you know, and they lay it all on you. And what I've found over the course of time, yes, there are things we talk about right and wrong, no question. But usually it's so much more effective if you're going to have a life change to let the Spirit of God do the work. You know, God knows how to clean up his sheep. Aren't you glad? He knows how to catch us and clean us. So we warn, we teach. That's our job. And especially when there are false teachings and teachers that abound, what you believe and understand is crucial. Now we bring his truth in love because we love the world of people who haven't surrendered to the Lord. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave. We love our communities. We love our neighbors. We may not agree with them. We probably don't. But we love them. We reach out to them. And we try to portray truth and righteousness and how we live in a spirit of love. All right. So Paul proclaims this Jesus who now dwells inside the believers. And the word admonishing is nutheteo, the Greek word. It's nuthetic counseling, if you will. Many years ago, Jay Adams was a great counselor. I don't even know if he's still alive, but he wrote Competent to Counsel. And it was all about nuthetic counseling, which was bringing the truth, which sometimes is confronted in love, of course. But there's a scripture usually that addresses the issue and also answers the need of the heart. But that's nuthetic, and that's admonishing. And the word teaching is didaskatos. And how many have ever heard of didactic? Didactic teaching, of course, or instructing. So Paul's ministry, his responsibility, preach, warn, teach. He warned people to stay away from sin, teach, and help people find a place of repentance. Now, I'm just being real practical this morning, but when the Holy Spirit begins to work on you, I want to just get harmony again in the room. I want to ask you, have any of you, and I know maybe it doesn't apply to some, has anybody in this room ever been convicted for anything at all in your life in sin? Anybody ever sinned in your life? Come on, let's see the show of hands. Okay, all right. All right, so what happens? There's usually, as the Spirit works with us, a bit of crisis in faith. Or something that arrests our attention. We go, oh, that,
that's not right. That doesn't feel right. That hurt somebody. I didn't intend. I just did what I always did. And look at that. And we come to a place where all of a sudden we're uncomfortable before the Lord. And you go, Lord, I need to change here. I didn't know. I see it now. I need to change. Oh, God, I don't want to go a way that you don't want me to go. I don't want to do the things you don't want me to do. Lord, I don't want to speak that way anymore. I want to bring blessing. I don't want to bring anger and frustration and discord. I don't want to hurt people. I want to bring life and blessing. And so you cry out to God to give you change. Isn't that the way it works? And the Holy Spirit, by the way, would never convict you if he wasn't right there to help his change. It's all a loving act from God. It's not a mean act. He shows us and brings us then to a place of repentance. And then we cry out, we ask forgiveness, we ask for his cleansing, and we get forgiven and we go, man, he showed up right on time. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. So teaching puts spiritual rebar inside. So you know what you believe, you stand on it, you live on the Word of God, you stay close to Jesus, you stay close to His family, you remain under the teaching and preaching, hearing the Spirit of God, and you grow. Hopefully as a church, we've grown this year, we're not the same as we were 1 year ago. Hopefully? All right. So God's heart is to help us grow. And I want to say this really kindly. I'm just kind of chatting with you this morning about what does all this mean right here in the Greek language. What's Paul trying to say? Do you understand that God's not interested in having lifelong babies? When you were born, if you were still the same little creature, or much, let's call it much older and much bigger, and you were still acting the way you were when you were in the crib, how many know that's not right? Something wrong with that. Okay, we have a precious friend, honestly, who they had a very difficult, traumatic situation with a little one that was born that they didn't anticipate would live beyond 2 years and is now about 22. Really a sweetest little guy, but he's not any older than what he was. And has to be changed and all of that. And so, you know, that's a special need. And I must tell you, the father and the mother are the sweetest people in Jesus. I have never seen or heard one word of complaint. I'm convicted even telling the story because I haven't complained during the message yet, but probably sometime this morning I complained somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Come on, can you get real with me about this? And these people are incredible. So, but the point is, God intends for a growth process. We grow, we mature, we change, we grow older. I'm kind of like that guy who went to the doctor and said, I don't like what I look like in the mirror. I see this person looking back at me and I got this picture when I was 25. It doesn't look like that. You got nothing wrong with your eyesight, Kevin. Okay, so... But there's change. Hopefully, though, this may have deteriorated, inside may have matured. That's what we hope. So he fills us and has a plan in mind. We counsel, we reach, we preach, we teach. Paul was accused constantly. Paul had to defend his credentials constantly. Oftentimes, people say things about your pastors or your leaders, and that's why the Bible says, don't listen to an accusation against an elder except by two or three witnesses who were there to see the issue. And our church, not our church, but the Church of America, oftentimes has a sport after church, and it's not football. It's called eating the pastor. And it's wicked. And there are people I know, and I'm heartbroken by, who have, after 14 years, 15 years of admonishment and correction to change, have refused to change in this way. And it causes destruction and heartache in the body of Christ. What I'm here to say to you this morning is not, hey, I make mistakes. If you see me do something that's not right, please come up and talk to me. That's what we do in the body of Christ. If I offend you, I don't want to offend you. If I do, if I mess up, I'm not perfect yet. If I mess up, just come talk to me so we can sit and I can say, you know, please forgive me. Never intended to hurt you. I've got friends in this church who have done that. They come up and say, did you know you did that? And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't. But thank you so much for coming to me. And that's what keeps our relationships right. You know what it's like, and I don't want to take too long, but what it's like if you have ought. The Bible calls it ought. It's a division. If you go to somebody else with your ought who wasn't there, do you know what happens? It goes like this. Hey, let me talk to you about what's going on here. What I found out. There's an operative phrase. They probably weren't there to see it or hear it. But what I found out. And do you know what happens to this person? Unless that person does the biblical thing, which is, I'm sorry, I don't want to hear it. What you need to do is go back to the person you're troubled with. But if that person listens to it, oftentimes that person gets all twisted up in anger and bitterness that's maybe even worse than your own toward the person who's upset or they're upset at. Do you understand? And so let me ask you a question. If I were the gossiper, did I just help my brother grow in the Lord?
No.
Not at all. So Paul was constantly having to defend his credentials to people that didn't like what he was teaching. And usually it's not an issue of Paul, although Paul probably had a pretty straightforward personality, don't you think?
Yeah.
I'm teaching now. I'm clearly teaching. I'm not jumping off the rafters preaching, but this is serious stuff. So Paul, it wasn't probably what he said. It was the fact that the Holy Spirit was at work. And when the Holy Spirit's at work in us, we either embrace it and change with Him, or we excuse it. And we say, no, not me. And we begin, you know what happens? You begin to blame the other party. Are you all with me? Can you understand? I didn't just read this in a book. I've lived this a little, and you have too, right? So you either change and say, you know, Lord, help me change. Or you say, no, it's got to be you. It's got to be you. It's got to be. No, that's no way to live. That's no way to live. How many want to instead to keep a short account and be right with God and right with each other?
Yes.
That's what the family of God's all about. Man, the family of God, we're not perfect people. We help each other get there, don't we? And we keep relating to each other. We hang in, and Paul had to do the same thing. All right, so what's Paul's goal? There's a goal to this. There's a purpose to all of this, and it is to present every person perfect. Say that with me. Every person perfect. Colossians 1, verse 28, second part of the verse. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Out of the New Living, we want to present them to God. Perfect in their relationship to Christ. The word present is the Greek word peristemi. Peristemi. And it means to stand beside, to exhibit, to proffer, to recommend. There is a presentation, a recital, if you were. Anybody ever took piano lessons as kids? All right. Did you ever have to do a recital? How about singing lessons? Ever have to do a recital? And what was that recital? And it was terrible is what it was. But what was it? It was the teacher's opportunity to show you off to the other students. Right? And some of you didn't feel like you got showed off well. I know what that's like. All right. So do I have to do this? Yes, it's time for the recital. But there came a time for a presentation. And so what Paul is saying is there's coming a time where as a pastor, as a leader in the body of Christ with spiritual responsibility for others, I come to a place, Sherry and I come to a place, leaders who care for your souls and watch for your soul or other leaders in the body of Christ, come to a time where we have a presentation of you before the Lord. And what we're doing when we pray for you and love you and guide and do whatever we can do every day, we say, Lord, see Jeannie here. We love this girl. She is great. She's got faith. She loves. She and Bill, they run across town to help anybody across the county. And they'd be there in a heartbeat. If anybody in this room had a need, you wouldn't find anybody more quickly to your side to help you than Bill and Jeannie Fuller. And so I'm recommending you, Lord, to them. I'm presenting them to you and to thank God for them. And Elaine and Cease, Lord, thank you for them. And they're so faithful. And I don't come here with the energy to clean this place that Cecil comes. Thank God. You know, and Dean and Paula, thank God, all these Thanksgiving decorations. Aren't they great? Nice job, guys. Wonderful. But you come and there comes a time where there's an exhibit, a recommendation. And Paul is saying the goal for all of this is to present each person perfect, complete, and mature before the Lord. That's why church is not just give you three poems and a couple of verses, pat you on the head, and send you home. Real church is there's something in the Word of God to help me grow today and help you grow today. Let's meet with Jesus. Let's grow. Then we go out of here to live it all out. Right? Church isn't an experience. Come back next week and you just learn about it here and you go live your own way and then come back. No, we used to have a sign, you know, probably do it again, is put over the door on your way out the door. It says, now entering the mission field. Because you learn it here and you live it there. Come on, you learn it here and go live it there. And we come back Wednesday nights and get encouraged and taught and we go out and live it. We learn it here and live it there. And then we come back together Sunday again. We encourage each other. We sing these songs. We hear the prophetic word. And, okay, Lord, what do you say to me? Oh, wow, I'm encouraged again in the Lord. And it doesn't matter if I've heard that 90 times already this year. You know what I need, and thank God. So I get encouraged here so I can go out and live it there.
Yes.
And Paul is saying the goal is to help us become transformed to being just like Jesus. The word perfect, the word is teleos. Complete. Keep growing. Keep running after the Lord. You can look at me all day and say, I'm never going to get perfect in this earth. No, but there's a maturity that God keeps growing us up. I'm gonna live whatever age I get to live to by the grace of God. And I hope it's a long, long time with full health. Right, don't you? I hope we get to live, all of us, a long, long time with full health. But then there comes a time where this earthly body will pass and I'll go straight into the arms of Jesus. But I want to get as complete, mature, and perfect as I can now in this life. I don't want to go to Jesus with diapers on, although that does happen sometimes when we get older. I mean spiritually. Okay, I mean spiritually. If that happens, that happens. Okay, no problem. Oh, my. Oh, man. Getting older is not for sissies, is it? Our kids have no idea, you know. You know, they think retirement, go live your life in retirement. Everybody I know is, I'm going from this appointment to that appointment. I'm busier in retirement than I ever was in my career. But it is all what it is. It's really a bummer when a pastor looks at you and says, it is what it is. But he grows us up. So a series of questions. Are you different, more like Jesus this year than you were last? Is there fresh growth in your life? And are you free to do and say and watch as much as you were able to do before? And is there transformation taking place? And the butterfly goes through metamorphosis. The Holy Spirit transforms us and we come out this beautiful looking creature that we never saw or thought of before. Are you as close to Jesus as you want to be? Or have you stopped taking time? Are you hungry for him, or are you growing cold in your walk with Jesus? Does he seem distant to you? Perfect, mature, complete, warn, admonish, teach. Walking with Jesus is worth all your effort.
That's right.
Walking with Jesus is worth all your effort. Come on, we've all given our lives to whatever goals in our heart. You know, when I was in broadcasting, honest to goodness, I wanted to be the best in the business. When I was in advertising, credit and discredit, I am extremely competitive, and I wanted to be the best in the area, wherever I was. And I confess it. I got there sometimes. It wasn't always great. Gymnastics, golf, football. Come on, it's not just sports. How about ladies? I won't look at you, kids, grandkids. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong. Those are blessings. All of those things are blessings. There's nothing wrong with each of those. But what I'm saying is we give ourselves to develop ourselves for those things. And when we were in our careers, we developed. We went to classes. We learned. We grew. That's all the right thing. Why should we think that our walk with Jesus is any less? Giving ourselves to the study of the Word and fellowship together and the crucialness of that. That's why Paul says in Hebrews, or whoever wrote Hebrews, we believe it's probably Paul. Anyway, it's why he says, don't deny the gathering together of the saints, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Because we encourage each other, we help each other. Are you tracking with all of that? That was a little joke and one person laughed. Okay. Are you sharing with each other what the Lord is doing? Are you continuing to develop and grow? Verse 29 of Colossians 1. To this end, Paul said, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Out of the NIV, to this end I labor, struggling with all this energy, which so powerfully works in me. Colossians 1:29 out of the New Living. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. And the word labor in the Greek literally means to work hard and feel fatigued. Paul was fatigued, but his joy was working that hard to present every man. He didn't want to lose anybody. To present every man, woman, perfect before the Lord. Not a works to get saved, but a cooperation with Jesus to get transformed. Not a work to get saved, but a cooperation with Jesus to get transformed. The Greek is, it was a wearisome, total, agonizing, like an athlete in the arena. The word striving literally is the word agonizing. Striving is in the agony of a contest. Now, how was Paul able to do it? Very simple. He let Jesus do it in him first. You know, you don't have anything to say if you haven't let Jesus do it in you first, right? Otherwise, you're just pointing the way. And Jesus led the way. It's a real difference. It's a real difference. You can ask me how to get somewhere that I've been to all the time, and I can say, here are the instructions and point the way. Or I can say, you need help, my friend? Come on. I'll take you there. I'll take you there. We walk the journey together. And that's what Jesus wants each of us to do as we grow and mature in Him. He's not just pointing the way. Paul isn't just pointing the way. He's saying, come on. Let's walk in the Lord together, and we'll get there together. There really is a purpose, a plan, a goal, and a finish line. Someone say that with me. A purpose, a plan, a goal, a finish line. A purpose, a plan, a goal, and a finish line. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If my life was taken today and I went into the arms of Jesus, I would thank Him for His mercy. But I would send this verse to you if I could. Therefore, my friends, as you've always obeyed and walked with the Lord, good for you. I'm going to cheer for you all my days. Not only in my presence, but now much more that I'm gone. Remember, Paul said, I want to be with you. I could go be with the Lord. I could stay. To stay would be better for you. To go would be better for me. I guess I'll stay. That's what Paul said. But it's up to the Lord. And so what we'd say is, let's all keep working at our salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. Let's keep walking with Him. Let's keep loving Him. Let's keep growing. Because His goal, there's a goal to all this. Get it strong. Get it solid. Get it deep. Jesus is the only Lord and Savior. He's the only one you need. He's the foundation. Get in the Word of God. Stay in the church. Walk with each other. There's a goal for all of this. Because each of us are going to be presented before the Lord. Each man. Each woman. Mature. Complete. Because we've let Him have His way in us. Amen. Can you say amen with me?
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Say it with me. Lord Jesus. I want to be perfect. I want to be mature. I want my goal to be your goal.
Let's say that differently. I want your goal to be my goal. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us today, that your heart is to present each of us, every person, awesome in this place. The place begins in our hearts. And Lord, we gather together in faith, believing this morning that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So awesome, so worthy of praise. Now bless each one today as they've gathered in this place. When they go from here, let them go strengthened, built up, encouraged, because we're going out. We learn it here, and we go out to live it out there. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we proclaim this area for you in Jesus' name. Bless each one, we pray now in the name of Jesus. And with your hands raised, church, I want to give you the blessing. If you need help after this service is over, come on up. There'll be healing teams right over here by the chairs to pray for you. Whatever the need is in your life, the Lord knows and loves you. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And just one more version of that in the New Living. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless each one, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Be released in the Lord.